Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello and welcome to the Dwight Howard episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 104, which is in honor of him being the first overall pick in the 04 NBA draft, recording this one on the afternoon of Saturday, October 12th in the year of our Lord 2024. My name is Logan Wertman, and as usual, I'm joined by my well-spoken co-host, Jacob Roth. Jacob, how does it feel to be on the Dwight Howard episode?
Feels good. That's a guy that probably gets more like weird vitriol than probably intended from his playing time. Outside of the playing, there's some question marks about what he does, but that's his own
for
time.
Sure.
I just feel like because of the rise in prominence of Shaq on TNT's Inside the NBA, like a bunch of young people that never watched Dwight Howard just think he sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because Shaq says he was bad, and then he hasn't looked great since he joined that big three with Steve Nash and Kobe. He's never looked the same outside of the Magic. So dude was a guy probably exclusively from his Magic time as like a fringe Hall of Famer because of how, three defense players of the year?
Three in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And very, very good. One of the last superstars to actually participate in the dunk contest, like at his
That's
peak.
True. Him and Blake Griffin.
At his
Griffin,
peak of powers.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin did it too. Jaylen Brown, but that's newer. Great name for the episode.
Yeah, no,
like
I
a
liked
guy
it.
That definitely gets the wrong lens put on his brain or on people's brains because of recent activity.
And honestly, probably deserved the episode 12 off the top of my head. I don't want to go too deep into it, but I think he probably deserved episode 12 for jersey number because we gave that to Fat Lever because this is a Nuggets biased program.
Yeah, I feel like that's not the worst. Like that's like a fair comparable-ish. I mean,
yeah, somewhat. Yeah,
because initially, before it started as first name that pops into our heads.
Yeah, that was more the way I was treating it. Like Rajon Rondo was number 9. You know.
Yeah, and now it's turned into a more
of the
like
goat.
A goat for that type of specific thing.
Yeah, which reminds me, I was going through today and filling out a lot of the, like, our spreadsheet with all the names of each episode to try to keep track of them. And I noticed that Kareem, he has not had an episode yet because I forgot that for episode 33, I decided to zag and give it to Larry Bird just because Magic Johnson was episode 32 and we're a Celtics adjacent
it's
show
like an
also.
And then also it's like, there's a lot worse zags you could do. Like it's a zag, but it's not. You're like, you know what? I'm rocking with. I can't even think of like a 33 that's like so much further down.
Marc Gasol.
Yeah, that would be a hard zag.
Yeah. But I mean, Larry Bird is my fourth best player of all time, and Kareem is my third. So it's really not that
gap between the two. But
yeah, no, there is.
That's crazy. That feels almost borderline. Like the next episode, we're not really sure. I feel like we should throw out our regular like rules and like just give it to Kareem.
Yeah,
because that's a bummer. Like yeah, I'm not Kareem, upset because then that means Larry Bird probably wouldn't have had an episode, or did he have the points one?
That's what I was thinking originally, but when I thought 33 was belonged to Kareem, but since we gave it to Larry Bird, I don't think we did one for Larry Bird's for number. Points. I haven't gotten that high up there in the numbers yet, but I don't think we did, to be honest.
Dang.
But yeah, so Kareem and Jokic are the two I'd say at the top of the list of need to get an episode here sometime.
Well, Jokic I'm sure will be coming up in a couple.
Why is that?
Are we almost to 115? Not a couple. We're like 10, a ways out. But I assume 115 will probably be Jokic.
I didn't really think about what we would do for once we got to the 110s. But we could probably just ignore the leading one.
Yeah.
And just do jersey numbers. But yeah. So moving on, though, from that jersey number or episode name talk. Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to hit us up on Patreon, buy me a coffee if you would like us, if you would like to support us. That's patreon.com/hooptheory and buymeacoffee.com/hooptheory. All of our links can also be found in the description of both the show and the episode wherever you're watching or listening to this. We would also greatly appreciate it if you rate the show, leave a like or a comment. Of course, be sure to subscribe and follow the feed. And lastly, we would also love it if you sent something into our mailbag for us to read and react to. Basketball related or otherwise, you can send those over to hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. And now, without further ado, let's get into today's episode, which is about the Northwest Division. So we're kicking off the Western Conference for our preseason win total predictions for the over-under lines. And I guess if we want to hop right into the first team, we can get to that. That is the Denver Nuggets, my favorite team. I'm the resident Nuggets fan here, if this is your first episode. And their line for this upcoming season is a measly 50.5, which I was kind of surprised by when I saw that today when I got the updated line. Last season, they won 57 and 25, won 57 games. Their line heading into that year was 52.5. And they were my overlock last year in this division.
Before we fully jump into it, can we talk about the insanity, stupidness of the Lakers for a second?
Sure. I don't really know what your angle is there.
LeBron being like, why we got to go play in Milwaukee for one game? And then JJ Redick being like, I think it's preposterous as well that we have to go play a preseason game in Milwaukee for a game.
What? I'm so confused.
But I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, like, not like Phoenix went and played at East Lansing, Michigan to play Detroit, or Denver and Boston flew halfway across the world to play two preseason games.
Yeah.
Again, the Warriors played like somewhere weird.
A week there, though, or something
like
that.
That's fair. But, like, also, why does it, like, why is this, like, such a big deal?
Yeah, I don't really know. Honestly, I haven't heard that, so I'm not sure what their angle on it is exactly other than...
And LeBron just, like, and I get that. Like, you just, like, throw out a tweet, and because it's LeBron, it gets blasted this, like, insane proportion.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, when JJ Redick got asked about it, he seemed irritated that they had to go to Milwaukee for one game as well. And I'm like... If, like, you had to go, like, to Milwaukee, like, 3 days before the season started, like, it was your last, and I'd kind of get it more, but, like, you still got, like, week and a half.
I guess is their thing, like, it's a one-game road trip, I'm guessing, then?
Yeah.
I guess that is kind of weird.
Well, it's a preseason thing.
Well, how many preseason games do they even play? I feel like I'm the least, out of all, like, the NBA heads, I pay attention to preseason the least. Like, I just don't care. I don't turn it on. I don't really check anything, but... Do you know how many games they play?
I want to say it's six.
Six? Okay.
That I'm going to check before I like go into the good night, like thinking that's correct.
Yeah. Because it's just usually during the season, you don't even see that kind of a road trip where it's like all the way in the other half of the country only for one game and you're coming back. Like that is probably a pretty rare scenario. So I guess.
Okay. So apparently. There's no rules.
Of how many you play?
It's you, just how you many can you want? Play none if you want.
Oh, okay.
Apparently. The NBA doesn't mandate a minimum number of games. Teams can't play more than six.
Oh,
so six
okay.
is a number, but you can't play more than six.
Mm-hmm. So if they get to decide who scheduled this Milwaukee game, then who is in charge of doing that? Yeah.
Rob Pelinka is just giggling, like in the in like the top, like watching.
Yeah. No, that was all that you wanted to go into though with the Lakers.
Well, no, if you didn't know anything, but then it's not that big of a deal. Obviously, I just saw that like that with nothing to chew on. That's what the NBA has kind of like NBA Twitterverse has kind of looked at.
Oh,
and jumped
yeah.
on.
Hmm. And is most of the discourse like on your side? Like they agree with you? Like that it's weird that they're complaining about it? Basically,
yes, that's like the majority. And also, it's a lot of people just being stupid, lame LeBron haters.
Yeah,
like be like, maybe because you get paid $50 million a year, and I'm like, okay, whatever, I guess. But
I got asked yesterday about somebody who doesn't really pay attention to the NBA asked me about LeBron, about how he's being exposed as a P. Diddy person. And I was like, I didn't even know that, honestly. So I don't know if there's anything there that you've seen. But
I know, I just feel like there's going to be so many like major, especially like black celebrities, because that was like P. Diddy was like a big part of like...
Yeah, yeah. Celebrities just hang out with each other. Yeah.
No, hang out with each other. But like P. Diddy made like he did like white parties, but it would be like only like African-Americans or black folks would be invited. Like that was like his thing.
Oh,
he was yeah. like a big high up person in some,
yeah.
I can't remember the name of the all black fraternity, but
I
like
mean, even in music space, the rap space, like he's not much of an actual rapper. He's more of like a, almost like
DJ
Khaled.
Actual
yeah.
music skill. Like yeah. actually can make music.
Yeah.
Or, let me phrase that. Actually can be on songs instead yeah. of just we the be best.
Being a glorified A&R who's just, like getting people together to make music,
yeah.
which is a valuable trait and skill. That's why not anybody can be DJ Khaled. Like, but you know, it is different than being an actual musician for sure.
Yes.
But yeah, P. Diddy is more of like, he has connections, you know, that's kind of what his whole role was in the rap game, you know,
which yeah, that doesn't seem good for him.
Yeah. Not seems anymore.
Like, yeah.
The connections don't probably doesn't have near as many of those connections. I'd guess after all this. But anyways, not to get too far into that. If you want to get back to the Nuggets or basically start the Nuggets. Okay. You just weren't saying anything. So with the Nuggets, their over under line, like I said, is 50.5 wins. They went 57-25 last season. Their line heading into that year was 52.5, and I locked their over. That was my lock in this division last season. For our preseason power rankings, or our HT power rank, we have them at second, which probably feels a bit high to a lot of people, and maybe me also, because like, you know, there's some other teams you could argue to be over them. But as far as like championship contender, I still lean Nuggets. You know, that's kind of more the
yes.
scope I'm
if
viewing
this
through.
Who's going to end up the like the highest just seed overall?
Mm-hmm.
There's teams like the like youthful Thunder that I probably lean in preference of.
Yeah.
But I've seen the Nuggets win things and I haven't quite seen the Thunder do it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I concur with it. It feels weird to put them at two, but if you like look at the big scope, it's not as bad
yeah.
type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're a lot of, more than almost any team, I'd say that the what brings them up is the playoff side of things rather than the regular season team. You know, feel a lot better than as a playoff team than I do a regular season team. But yeah, so the Nuggets, though, I've picked over and locked it every single year we've done this. So 3 years in a row now, this is going to be the fourth year. And I think I might do that again because the line has drifted all the way down to 50.5 after, I think at one point even it was 53.5 several weeks ago. And then a couple weeks ago when I looked at it, it was 52.5. Now it's down to 50. So I think I might lock the over on this because like what, you know, the Nuggets have gotten to their line And like I said, I've locked the over on them every single year, and I've hit that over every single year. So, and that is including a season where we didn't even know that Michael Porter Jr. was going to be out the entire season, and we weren't sure that Jamal was going to be out the entire season. We knew he was out, though, heading into it for at least some of it. But even with that, he was Jokic was still able to get the Nuggets slightly above their line, I think, of like 47.5 that year, something like that. We ended with 48 wins. So that, I feel like we're just going to, he's a walking like 47, 48 wins at minimum.
Mm-hmm. And if he stays healthy.
Yeah. And like you can say that about a lot of guys. You can't say that about a lot of guys. I take that back. But the few guys that you can say that about, most of them, when you say the if he stays healthy thing, is a decently sized caveat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
for Jokic, Embiid, he's like an Iron Man. He's like the opposite.
Yeah, we haven't seen a season where Jokic has not been healthy. His least healthy season, he played more games than Joel's most healthy season. So that's just kind of wild. But yeah, it's like, I think 69 of the 82 games was the least he has ever played in an NBA season. So I'm not too worried about that. That's why I feel like this is a pretty good value to use my lock on to make it worth 3 points instead of just one. And so that's going to be my move here, I think.
I'm going to go over and lean towards locking.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to kind of think through and talk through my brain like the rest of the teams.
Yeah.
In the Northwest. Because actually I am going to lock it.
Okay. Because
I think that the two bad teams in the Northwest, I think their lines are like really good lines that I don't feel great about locking up or down on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will copy you in your footsteps and go with a Nuggets lock. Because like you said, the same thing with Giannis. Like some guys are just worth 50 wins, and I think that's the case. So I concur. I'm gonna ride with you on that one.
Yeah.
Maybe I not think, 50, but like a lot of wins. They're worth a lot just by being there.
Oh yeah, no, I mean that season that he did get the Nuggets to 48 wins. That was the season that Facu Campazzo was our third most used guard in terms of minutes.
Like the Brad Wanamaker conniption.
Like,
this doesn't feel great. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel great though.
Yeah, not even in the league anymore. Either of those guys. So it didn't take long either. But anyways, I also another point on the Nuggets. I don't know if do you have a timer up right now? I can't see a timer.
Totally but, spaced a timer.
Okay, that's all right. I can kind of keep an eye on the clock when we go through
these
teams.
I'll start another one. For like the next team, I will start a timer.
Okay, sounds good. But with the Nuggets, though, to tack on a few more notes, there's still no AG extension. Aaron Gordon, he still has just the player option left on his deal for next season. He's been extensionable this whole summer, but they have not come to an agreement yet. That was kind of looming with Jamal for a while, but then they ended up just giving him, you know, the full extension.
And do you think it's like a worry because of the new CBA type of thing? Like they don't know.
I'm guessing they probably don't want to give Aaron Gordon like an insane amount of money. I would imagine.
That means you're not keeping Michael Porter unless he comes back on like a, not just a good discount, like an insane discount.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it wouldn't be that. I mean, it'd be insane, but it sounds like the Nuggets ownership is not as like willing to just sit in the second apron as some other teams are.
Yeah, that is an understatement. Yeah.
Like they're almost like, we will not.
That was the big key of this offseason for the Nuggets was getting themselves out of the second apron. That was honestly the main goal.
And that's the thing that I don't like about this new apron thing. And I guess this is going on a different thing. The more I think about it, it's just going to turn the NBA into the MLB, into baseball. The Celtics, the Knicks, the Lakers will never, they will always have the ability to be willing to just spend more money and get out of being bad. Always. So because they've got the big enough market that these millionaires, billionaires will be able to just like foot the bill to make their team better.
There's still a hard cap, though, above the second apron.
There is still a hard cap, but like...
Unlike baseball, where you can just keep going to infinity.
A lot of these smaller market teams are treating that second apron like it's the hard cap. And then you've got the Celtics, I think, are the only team, and the Knicks now. But the Celtics are the only team that have truly been like, yeah, we don't really care at the moment. We're just going to
go for
keep
it.
Keep going.
Yeah, which I don't know how long that will last, because like with these big markets that you're talking about, the new rules they added with the new CBA for the second apron, the negatives that come with it, like the penalties that come with the second apron if you're in it for however many seasons in a row.
Yeah, I think it's two in a row. You lose like draft picks and stuff.
Oh, two in a row? Wow. I thought it was three out of 4 years or something like that, I want to say.
Or maybe the Celtics are at a point now where if they like have two more, they're in it. Maybe I'm mixing up that level of it.
Because they were in it last season, right?
Yes.
Or were they not? They were? Okay. If so then yes, next I'm season, sure if they were in it again,
it'll be the third one. Because they are. I think what they have on the books, unless they trade stuff away, is in the apron no matter what. Because the only guy is Al. Al's the big one that doesn't have money after next year.
Oh.
Everyone else is locked down, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
We could do a whole other like little episode thing on this, like the way that things are changing and teams changing ownership. And then if you don't own the arena, because that's going to be devastating. And I think it'll happen with this ownership group. The Celtics won't play in the Garden anymore because the Celtics don't own the Garden. And that's depressing as heck. That's
and they
so
can't
sad.
Buy it like the ownership or whoever
sell
owns it.
I mean, would you sell it? I mean, you have this insanely valuable, insanely well-placed piece of property.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the price, but yeah,
it'd be grossly overpaying what it's like in reality worth, because I think it's owned by like some Delaware, Connecticut power company or something weird. It's like some, yeah, I don't know exactly what it's owned by, but I know it's not owned by the Grusbeck Group at the moment.
Who are also not going to be owning the Celtics for much longer.
Which I also wonder if that will, how that'll change at all. Cause it sounds like, as the details have came out on that, the dad, Irv is his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is like an investment guy. And he's like, I've gotten what I want out of this investment wise.
And wants
I'm getting
to
out now.
Move off of it. Yeah.
Instead of looking at it as like a thing that you love, that's more Wick. That's like,
yeah, his son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His son and the governor, the more commonly known face of the Celtics
ownership group. Yeah.
But the group, everyone else that's not the Grusbecks that also were part of that group to own the Celtics are also putting a group together. And I think that's who ends up buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll
somebody huge comes over the top, like Bezos or somebody with just money that's unrivaled.
A Bezos or somebody like that. But I think that this group will group up with some sort of real estate person that owns a lot of land or area of land in Boston, and they'll build a new arena, I think, which is going to be just devastating. It's not going to be the same. It's going to feel terrible.
Because I've heard I think people have said like how TD Garden is like one of the best placed arenas in all of the NBA. Like how
it's awesome. It's like Kauffman and Arrowhead Stadium for Kansas City. It's like on the edge of town. TD Garden's not on the edge of town, but like in terms of the way that it functions and fits within its surrounding area is perfect.
I think it's directly on top of like the subway system. So like one of the main stops of the subway system
it's
when you get out.
It's literally just TD Garden.
Yeah, you like go up the stairs and you're walking into the arena basically. So
yeah,
I guess that's probably not very common for a lot of arenas, I'd guess at least.
It just stinks because it's such a great... Anyway, we don't need to keep going on that.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was a whole little side thing. We haven't talked in a minute about outside of our... I guess we had like a half episode to start last episode.
That's true. Yeah.
But we didn't...
And speaking of that, I didn't even think about that last episode when we were going through it, but this would have been a much more fitting episode to just talk about all of that in. It would have been less like timely, you know, like relevant, but...
Yeah.
It's more relevant in terms of the teams. Yeah, because we got the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, who are two of the main teams we talked about. And what I'm referencing is the Cat trade, for those who don't know who had not listened to the previous episode. I think that helps out the Nuggets quite a bit. Feel good about that. We'll probably talk more about that when we get to Minnesota, to be honest. But as of right now, it looks like we're both locking our overs on the Nuggets. Like I said, the extension for AG's probably not going to be a insane number because of us wanting to keep our core together long term. And at least in theory, Peyton Watson looking like a future replacement for Aaron Gordon could play that Aaron Gordon role in the future for the most part.
And then you're going to need to have not like insane money, but decent money for Christian Brown if he plays the way that he looks like he's going to. He's not going to be cheap. Like, and this is on the outside looking in. If I was a Nuggets fan, I'd be like, I'd be okay, like, trading away MPJ. And I've also been not a big fan of MPJ for, like, a long time.
Yeah, I think you've been suggesting MPJ trades to me for, like, 2 years now.
Maybe longer.
Yeah.
But, like, would you be okay if, like, to keep, you have to, you can only keep one of them because of the money. Which one do you rather have?
Between MPJ and AG?
No, I think MPJ. MPJ and Brown.
Oh, Christian Brown.
Like, moving forward.
I'd say...
I'd say Brown because of the defense, because, like, you just need that. MPJ's gotten a lot better as a defender. I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma that I'm
MPJ
glad I'm
is just
in.
Such a rare thing. Like, no, the height combined with the shot. And then... But then Christian Brown, I mean, he is a very skilled defender, has pretty good size. It's just his skill set and like the type of player he is, the role that he plays is a much more replaceable type of role, you know?
Yes.
But yeah, if MPJ is getting paid max money
too much.
And Christian Brown's getting like 20 million.
A Derek White deal or a little bit less than a Derek White deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So if he's getting paid that much, then I might lean Christian Brown just for the value.
How much you have to pay would kind of play into it. Because Christian Brown, you could get Brown and then like, not like maybe help pay for Watson. Like you've got like a lot of different things that open up if you don't have to give him the same amount of money that MPJ might pull in. Which I'm also curious when MPJ's up in 2 years, how much like what point is he going to be at? It's going to be a weird thing because like on the upside he's worth like a lot, but then also he hasn't exactly played like what he might ask for. It'll be a weird, difficult scenario that will not be fun for Nuggets Nation.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. It's kind of in like a rant that you went on a while back on the show about how teams are getting like the Thunder are getting punished for drafting well.
Yeah,
like the Nuggets have hit so many of their more like recent late first round picks. Like, so it's not like super high value picks, but we're getting really good value out of them in Christian Brown and Peyton Watson. Julian Strother even looks like he's going to be definitely surpassing the 29th pick in the draft type of level.
Value.
Yeah. So, and keeping all of those guys is going to be
interesting. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's like, it almost like incentivizes you to like not use a guy fully in contract that first rookie contract deal. The way the Nuggets do it, you kind of sit on the bench, you learn the system, you get in when it's needed, but like letting a guy go full bore before he gets paid feels like the wrong thing to do, which is anti-player, and this whole thing is supposed to be not anti-player. I don't know. It's dumb to me, but...
So, I guess we can probably move on from the Nuggets. We have spent enough time there. Not a lot of changes to the roster other than losing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and adding Russell Westbrook and Dario Saric, which I think we've kind of covered that so far on this podcast before. But I really like what I've been seeing from Dario Saric, kind of going to be the Jokic of the second unit in a way.
No, I think that's, and I texted you in that preseason game, Westbrook with that second unit where they're like 4/5 out with Saric, it looks really good. That looks like that's going to be a problem for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
That don't have that much second unit depth. That'll win you a lot of games, I think. But anyway.
No, I like it. Yeah. So moving on from the Denver Nuggets, we both locked the over. The Minnesota Timberwolves is the next team we're going to be looking at, which is the team that just made a pretty crazy move right before we were recording this episode. Well, not right before, but a few weeks ago. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, their line now, as of today on FanDuel, is 51.5. And their record from last season was 56-26, with a line heading into last season of 44.5. So they crushed their line. Do you not remember that?
Being that disgusting. I was over, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't remember if you locked it, but
I don't think I did, because I think I locked OKC's over because I was omega high on the Thunder.
And they had the same exact line, 44.5.
What? I guess the only thing they didn't get wrong is they were about the same in record.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's true.
Just like 12 games off or whatever disgusting number it was.
That was kind of the consensus on both those teams.
That's crazy.
The reason why with the Wolves was because the Gobert experiment after the first year did not look like it was going to be good.
Yeah.
So we didn't foresee like the jump that Ant was going to make. And
well, we did a little bit.
Well, not to that level to put him all the way up at 56 wins or what? Yeah, 56 wins.
Yeah, I guess.
I went under on that line of the Wolves last season. I remember not feeling good about it, but I did go under.
Oh. But that was also, last year was the first year I've ever beat you, so I shouldn't get too confident in myself.
I had the under last year on it, and the Thunder, you said, I remember you were confused in a clip that we've put out about their preseason ranking, like how you said something about how even though you had them at third, the third seed when you were, we were doing our preseason predictions, and you're like, I probably wasn't as high on them as some people, but I was like, no, that was the highest I had heard anyone put the Thunder. So yeah. Like preseason, they were looked at as like, oh, maybe they'll make a play, like a playoff spot, like above the play-in. Like that was like what people were talking about. And that was like the people who were high on OKC were the people saying that. So
I guess it was probably more the Warriors did not even come close to what people were hoping.
Lakers struggled
Lakers
again.
Did not. Yeah. So the youth just stepped up above the old guard, I guess, a little bit.
And the impact Chet made right away was like also a big.
My boy.
Yeah.
What? Oh, my jersey's not. I'm cleaning all my jerseys.
Yeah, the Suns didn't work out, but that was very predictable, at least for me, because I was like, they're four best players, even five best players, if you want to throw Eric Gordon in there.
I thought you'd go Alex Len, the legend.
Man, when has he been on the Suns in recent years?
Oh, you're right. He's a king.
Yeah, he was on the Suns like for the beginning of his career.
When he was drafted, out of Maryland, I think. Anyway. Yeah.
But their five best players on the Suns were all guys that. In previous seasons, right, like leading up to that year, had not played more than like 50, 60 games at max every single one of those seasons. So it was like none of these guys are going to be playing. So yeah. I don't think they're going to win enough games, and that did bore out. I don't think any of those guys really played all that much, to be honest. But anyways, the Wolves is who we're supposed to be talking about right now. Their power ranking that we have them at is seventh, which does feel high to me. It's probably lower than you are on the Wolves.
But I still feel like seven feels like a little high, especially after the trade, just because you don't know. Not because I think that there's not a chance they couldn't be seventh best in the NBA, but because you don't know exactly how the Catless unit will work. Mm-hmm. What Julius Randle are we going to see? How does DeVincenzo, like, there's too many questions to be like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But like we said before, right, we're not going to change it. The power ranking, that's just where we had it before the trade.
We'll just leave it there and give the verbal caveat of I'd probably slide them below the Bucks, and maybe even the Suns is who we have at nine, I think.
Still a top 10 team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still a top 10 team for sure.
At least in that range, because Cavs we have at 11. I think they're probably still a little bit above the Cavs, I would lean. But that's kind of close to me. I could see that going either way.
Who's 10?
To be honest. 10, let me look at that really quick. I think we have it in
here. I guess I could also pull it up instead of being lazy.
The Grizzlies.
Ooh.
I can't tell what direction your reaction is going.
I think I'd still have them above the Grizzlies and the Cavs. Mm. It'd be like close, but I still think I have them above.
Yeah. No, that's
because again, Grizzlies are another team you don't know. Like everything on paper says they should be way better, but like you just don't know yet. Like you still like there's still a world that Ja doesn't look like Ja. Obviously, you hope that's not the case, but there's just a world that that's maybe the reality we live in. yeah. unfortunately.
And going back to how I don't pay attention to preseason at all, has he looked, has he been playing in the preseason?
What have, I pay what attention people said? To Celtics preseason and then media day news.
No, it makes sense. Yeah.
So
I'm not on the level of people that are like, oh, as soon as preseason comes around, they're like tuning in. And, yeah, I don't know why. I'm just like, there's enough regular season for me to feel satisfied. Like, I don't need to really tune into the preseason, especially because it's like, it's not real. It's not like a real, all the notes that you get from it.
I tune in for preseason football, but we also have a lot less games to enjoy in the world of football.
There's probably more you can get out of a preseason NFL game, I guess, at least. Because of sample that you get.
It's pretty comparable to, like, you get like a quarter of guys that are actually going to play, then like a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
But it's
a weekly football. Football is like a weekly, you know, appointment.
Tradition. And it's back, baby. But yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, Minnesota, though, they are seventh. I'm going to lean under, I think. I don't feel great about it again. But 51.5, so, you know, they'll have to get to 52 wins with a lineup that as I noted last episode, I just don't love. I honestly would like their starting five better if it was Naz Reid instead of Julius Randle, to be quite honest. I think that would be a better group because of Naz Reid's shooting.
I think Naz Reid is going to this year be full on display as this is like a top 10 center that just happened to be a backup. Like, he's very good. I love Naz Reid. Mm-hmm. There's like my hot take. Naz Reid is it's not that he's like good. That's not a hot take. But like, I think he's like insanely good and will finally be seen as that now that he's not behind two of the top 10 centers in the NBA. He's only behind one of them. Mm-hmm. So, and when I say top 10, I mean like 10th or like 9th. Like not
for Naz Reid.
For Naz Reid. Not going much higher than that, obviously. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah. No, that I don't think that's insane. It's definitely a take.
Not the norm. It's a take. Yeah. It's a take of all time.
So Naz Reid, I'm gonna like. I think I feel like he'll probably close a lot of games for them, just being the shooter that he is, spacer at the five or at the four, rather. And maybe like it could be Gobert that gets slid out of the closing group again, rather than Randle. Who knows? Because
I think it depends on who they're playing, but I think you're totally not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rim protection wouldn't be great there. It would be Naz Reid is like the sole rim protector who's a little bit undersized for that role. But it's not.
But
it's
yeah,
not
I
like
think it really depends on like who you're playing against.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely some teams that they'll be able to match up with just fine. And especially in this Western Conference with like the Rockets and probably the Thunder, honestly, unless they're running Hartenstein and Chet together. Or something like that, but yeah, definitely could pass for most matchups, I would think. But yeah, so at the three, Jaden McDaniels, I think he could be a big key on how well he shoots this season for how well like they do in general. Honestly, he's not been a great shooter so far in his career, been a little bit like hit or miss. Like there's been some stretches where teams are coming out on him, guarding him, and then other stretches where like teams are just giving him what he wants from out there. So if people are just sagging off of him, obviously that's going to create more issues when there's already Gobert who people are like not even sagging off of, but like are repelled off of. Like it's like the anti-gravity.
It's like a north-south magnet.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert on the three-point line is a north-aligned magnet. The defender is south-aligned. It is forced to be at least into the paint.
Yeah.
But hey, maybe he's got that mid-range locked in now. Maybe he's been putting in the work. Saw what he did in game 7. He's like, I can do this again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that would be a terrifying prospect if Rudy Gobert even gets like 30, not the turnaround part of it, but if Rudy Gobert can like become like a 30% mid-range shooter, the world's
30%?
Over.
I don't think that. That would be not a very... That would probably be the one of the least efficient options for their
mid-range?
Offense.
Mid-range?
30% mid-range?
Yeah, that's true. That's really bad.
That's like bad for three. That's not good for three. That's like definitely subpar for
three. For Rudy Gobert, it'd be great.
Oh, for Rudy Gobert, it would be decent. Yeah, it would be like enough to be like, oh, well, you can't just shoot every three. Like if he makes a couple in a row, you know. But Yeah, I don't foresee Gobert showing his shooting chops this upcoming season. I'd be surprised. At least I think that was just a one-time anomaly that also just so happened to win them the series, basically. So, but yeah, for the Wolves, though, I'm going to lean under just because I don't think it's going to be like too far off, but I think they'll probably end up somewhere between 45 and 50 wins would be my guess, somewhere in there. But what are you thinking?
This is tough. I think I want to use my stay away.
That's definitely fair.
I think, but if not, I'm going to lean over as opposed to stay away. So I'm going to put a pin in it.
What do you want me to put it down as right now,
right,
I guess?
Right down over.
Over, okay. And I think I might be doing the same thing you're doing right now, where I might be safe, because right now in my notes, I don't have a stay away used. Because this is the rare division where I actually feel somewhat good about each line.
The lines are really, really good lines. There's no, like, outside of that Nuggets one was like, well, that seems...
Or no,
now,
the
especially
opposite.
Now that it's gone low.
Like, they're not... Like, the lines that are really good, you don't know which way to go, you know? These ones, I actually feel... I have a feeling on a direction. You know what I mean? Like, this... Because all the other divisions, there's been at least a couple teams where I'm like, I could use my stay away.
Yeah. But
on these ones, the Wolves, maybe, and maybe there's one other team that I could consider using my stay away, but I honestly feel pretty good about using the pick on them also. Like, mm-hmm. I could just, if it was allowed, I might just not even use a stay away in this division. But I think we established last year, at least, that
we have to use them.
Yeah, we're going to use a stay away for each division. So I'll end up having to narrow it down to one of these teams. But yeah, I do feel pretty good about each of these lines, to be honest, about a direction for them. But yeah, so I go under, you go over, no locks or any funny business. Did you set a timer for the Wolves? Are we very...
Yep, we're out of time.
Okay. Moving on then to the next team, which is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Their line for this upcoming season is 55.5 wins, which I believe is the second highest in the league behind the Boston Celtics. Last year, they won 57 games, so they had the same record as the Nuggets, but they had the tiebreaker, so they were the first overall seed. And their line, as we mentioned before, was 44.5 heading into last season. So they destroyed that line. They are third in our power rankings, which I think is a pretty good spot for them, to be honest. A lot of people do see them as the favorite in the West. Obviously, since we have the Nuggets over them, at least for me, I'd say I still lean Nuggets as the favorite. But I've even heard some Nuggets fans say that the Thunder are their favorite in the West. Those might just be the people who tend to be more pessimistic, but...
I also think that the Thunder are my favorite in the West. Regular, like, I think the Thunder will have the one seed. Don't know if they come out of the West.
Okay,
that's where I just... Well, because you've not seen them win yet. Like, I don't know. I watched a team go to the Eastern Conference Finals a million times, and just they were never able to get it over the hump.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so your this favorite is to come out of the West is still the Nuggets, then?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's...
But it's not,
I think
it's
very
not that
close.
Big of a gap. Yeah,
I agree.
It really depends. Like, if one team has, like, an injury. Like, it's that close. Like, it's not really...
No, for sure.
I feel a lot better. It's just the fact that I've watched Jokic do it. And they'd have... Honestly, it's who's ever... Having the better player usually wins you those really tight series. And despite the Thunder having a top three guy in the NBA right now, they don't have number one, so.
disrespect to Giannis, I guess. You're demoting him out of the top three?
I guess four, whatever.
Or Luka, my bad. You had Giannis second, actually, I think, in your top 10, right?
Yeah.
So Luka is the one that you're demoting.
That's fine. Take that.
But anyways, the Thunder, though, I gave all their numbers, but for their line of 55.5, this is one that I feel like I could maybe use my stay away on, but I definitely have a lean on the direction I'd go on the line, and that is over, because I just think they're a better team this year than they were last year in multiple ways. You know, I think their roster improved, but then also all their, like, the best three players on their team are all crazy young. You know, yeah, you know, she's not like, crazy, crazy young, but he's still young enough to make another step, you know,
yeah,
in his development. Jalen Williams is like very expected to make a step. Chet is entering his second year, which is most commonly where you make your biggest step.
No, and I think that Jalen Williams might be a sneaky biggest winner of the Caruso Giddey trade. Like, not having to worry about Giddey and all the spacing of that and having Caruso just always. I think that that might actually sneaky help Jalen Williams like a lot more than is being talked about. Like, everybody
offense, you're saying?
Offensively, yeah. Well, honestly, a little bit defensively, having a guy that would
I was going to say that.
Burn all that energy on defense because that's what Caruso does.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody on that Thunder team put, like, slap the ground tries on defense. That's kind of what they do.
No, for
dogs.
Sure.
But I feel like having Caruso being able to do a lot of things that Jalen Williams had to do will maybe open
in
up a lot
of
things for him.
Backcourt players. I think Caruso will probably be the main guy on backcourt players, him or Dort, at least.
The torture chamber.
Yeah, and then Jalen Williams would probably be like the big wing defender. So he'll be guarding those guys, which is going to use some energy also, but not as much of the side-to-side lateral quickness. You know,
sprinting
as much as the,
around, it's more the prepare your body to deal with getting back down and stuff. No, I'm very excited about this Thunder team, as I have been for a lot of years. Now everybody is, so it's not near as fun. But they're here. And they're very
they're
good.
Definitely here.
55 feels like a, like, I'm also on the overside of that. Because I'm like, I get the rest of the NBA's gotten better, but, like, so are the Thunder. Like, on paper, the Thunder got the most better out of everyone.
And they're so deep, also.
Oh, no, yeah, there's, like, just throw, the only thing they don't have a ton of is size, but they got more of that, too.
Yeah,
they have Hartenstein.
And they were fine last year. Like, even though that was their biggest weakness, they
that's
were
not
still
why
good.
They lost. I mean, a little bit to the Mavs, but the Mavs more like out athlete sized them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like more big athletes, but that's like a weird thing that not very many teams have.
Yeah.
Like having enough big, giant, heavy athletes to deal with the lineup that the Mavs figured out at the end of the season. No, I'm amped for this Thunder team. I'm gonna go over. I'll watch a lot of their games too. I watch more Nuggets than I like. I don't want to say care to, just so I can like back and forth on the pod. They're fun to watch, but like maybe it's the novelty of the Thunder. I will watch a lot of Thunder games. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. They're going to be my outside of the Nuggets, probably my most watched team, to be honest. Not just because they're in the same division, but because, like you said, they're just a really fun team to watch.
No, and then watching them against other good teams will also be, I think, the most fun. Like, there's some teams that you can watch, like, beat up on people, and it's, like, fun to watch. But, like, Thunder, Celtics, Thunder, Knicks, Thunder, T-Wolves, Thunder, Nuggets, Thunder, Sixers, Thunder, Bucks, I will watch all of those without question.
No, yeah, for sure. Going back to their depth, they've got, in the backcourt, Kasan, which, this is something that's been on the back burner that I've yet to bring back up. But you know how we had that whole segment about the pronunciation of
Kasan Wallace?
What I used to say, Kasan Wallace's name. You said Carson Wallace. So I corrected you to Kasan Wallace, which is actually also wrong because it's Kasan Wallace, apparently. Everyone I ever heard in like entering the draft and everything always either said Kasan or Kasan. I would say Kasan Wallace, but I've heard most people say Kasan, but then I heard Sam Presti say Kasan. I was like, Sam Presti's a really like, you know, well thought out guy. Yeah. I feel like he wouldn't just, you know, throw a weird zag in how you pronounce his name. I feel like he'd probably be right. And then I went and looked up a video of him himself saying it, and it was Kasan. So just thought I'd throw that out there as a correction, but him in the backcourt, another just dog on the defensive end, and can also shoot pretty well.
Got a lot like, better. I mean, he was a like seventh man as the playoffs continued. Mm-hmm. He was like one of the first guys they got out there off the bench.
And was a big reason why Kyrie struggled so much in that Western Conference Finals. Right? No, Western Conference second round. Because the Timberwolves went to the finals.
It was a second round. Uh-huh. Was essentially the finals with how the T-Wolves played, but
did end up that way. That was the closest series for the Mavericks in the West. But then they've also got, you know, Nikola Topic, which I'm not sure if he's going to be playing at all this season. He'll definitely be out for the start of it, I think, with his ACL injury. But he's just another guard that they have in there who has some hopes, you know. He's a lottery pick. So Isaiah Joe, though, one of the best shooters in the league last season, the past couple of years now, actually. Lugans Dort, as we mentioned before. And then they've got some good big wings also to throw out, like Usman Jang from France, who we have not seen really break through into the rotation all that much yet, but I feel like he's got some promising potential. Yeah, I mean, he was the youngest player, I believe, in the NBA at one point. He's only 21 now, entering either his third or fourth year in the league, which is just probably, it's got to be his third, but still, it's a very young guy. Kenrich Williams is still on this team as like their Mr. Thunder of this generation, like the Nick Collison figure. And then the other Jalen Williams from Arkansas.
Yep.
Who can play some small ball five for you as a spacer also. Kind of like a 6'7", 6'8", burly wing. And then Aaron Wiggins is also on this team, who's just kind of like a do-it-all 3-and-D small
wing.
They've
got like 12 guys you're okay playing on the court. It's nuts.
And what's crazy is I was looking at their contracts on SpotTrack, how many descending deals they have. Descending deals are not all that common. But there's like four of them on this team. And
Presti just is all about it, I guess.
Yeah,
he's pretty good at his job, so maybe we'll see a changing trend.
Yeah, honestly, that's what I was thinking, looking at it. So like maybe this is like starting a trend because they've got some really good deals here with Isaiah Hartenstein. His big deal is descending. Like all the people that have on descending deals are all young. Like usually you only see that happen when it's like a guy that's projecting forward, you're guessing it's probably going to be declining. But Isaiah Joe, who is 25, is on a descending deal for the next four seasons. So 4 years from now, he'll be making $11.3 million. Right now, he's making $12.9 million. And then the same thing with Hartenstein, like I said, 30 down to 28.5 in 3 years. Aaron Wiggins was the other one who is getting paid 10.5 right now and is going to be getting paid 7.9 in 4 years. And he's only 26 at the moment. So some pretty good, like, you know, deals where it's like, hey, we'll pay you a lot more up front. So they'll probably get paid more than what the normal market is for them. But then you're just reversing the years on it. So, and for the player, that's like almost better, you know, in some ways. It's like, oh, you're going to give me more money, but you're going to give me more of it faster than the other teams are, you know? So I can just invest it now. And then it can, like, for the time value of money, you're making more than if you were to have it the other way around. So, and for the team, it's way better because then it's a asset that it's getting more valuable each season because a lot of these guys are probably going to get better each year. And then their number, not only compared to itself is going down, but it compared to the cap sheet overall because of inflation and the league cap hold growing, getting higher and higher every single season. It's just going to be a stacking on stacking of value, you know, which is just interesting. But
also nuts to me, the Thunder, Alex Caruso and Williams both are 30. Who do you think the next oldest player is
outside of those two? It's probably somebody who's 26.
It's Shea.
Shea? Okay, yeah.
That's insane!
I was going to say, they have a few guys that age. I mean,
Alex Caruso being your old vet, 30s oldish, but that's nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts to begin with. But then it's like Caruso, Williams, and then it's Shea, Hartenstein, Wiggins at 26, and then you've got Dort, Joe.
Jalen Williams from Arkansas is probably up there, right?
He is 22.
Jalen with an I is 22.
One's 23 and one's 22.
He's the younger one? Wow. For some reason, I thought he was like a four-year guy at Arkansas.
I think he was only two.
Okay, so he was the same amount as the other Jalen.
I think.
That's cool. Oh, yeah. Jalen Williams is 22. And the other one is 23. That is weird to me, but okay. Yeah. So as you were saying, though, they're...
It's just crazy to me that how young... I mean, I don't know what the average age of this team is, but this is going to be the lowest again. Like, it's definitely going to be.
Probably. And that's kind of crazy with all of these tanking teams out there. You know? Like, this is a team that's... We have ranked third. A lot of people probably put second. And they're a title contender for sure.
You know, when your old head is 30.
Uh-huh.
That's the old guy in the room.
Yeah. They're
like the youngest starter for the Lakers. Being facetious. But like, that's craziness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's close to the average, probably not too far from the average age for the Lakers. I'm guessing the average age for the Lakers is like 26. Something like that, 26, 27.
But yeah, that's just crazy. We're out of time about the Thunder, but if you're a Thunder fan, it's a good time to be you.
Yeah, which I think we have a lot of. I think that's probably the biggest group of one team's fans that we have.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Just by from looking at on TikTok, or all like the followers and stuff, OKC is definitely the team I see the most of. So, which is interesting.
Bones Highland hate.
What?
It's because of all my Bones Highland hate.
What does that have to do with OKC?
Nothing. It doesn't. It doesn't at all.
But yeah, so OKC, we're both going over. Not locking or anything. But moving on now to the second to last team in this division. That is the Portland Trailblazers. And their line has moved down from where we were looking at it before. Before it was at 22.5. But now that we're using the FanDuel lines that have been updated, it's at 20.5.
Mm.
So it's a much better line because they were before when I had my notes typed out where the Nuggets line was at 52.5 and the Portland number was 22.5. I had Portland as my lock on the under. Now that those have flipped, I've flipped the lock as well, but I'm still going to lean under, I think, but this is definitely one of my stay away candidates because they did win 21 games last year. So that's like right where their line is. And their line heading into that year, which this was my under lock. Maybe I didn't lock the over on the Nuggets last season.
I thought you did, but maybe not.
I might have switched it because the Portland Trailblazers, I think I said that. Yeah, I think I want to say that I locked them. Let me look at that really quick. I have it right here. The 2024 over under list, Portland Trailblazers. No, I did not lock it. I did not. But definitely probably felt that like that was would have been my other
contender.
Choice other than the Nuggets at 27.5. I don't know if I said that number yet, but that was their line last year. 27.5. I think that was pretty clearly a bad line to me, at least. I feel like just tends to be the case. Like the bad teams tend to be the ones with the lines are too high a lot of the time. That seems to be the common thread I've noticed, at least. Through these few years of doing this, but yeah, so this year though it smartened up a little bit. They brought their line down to 20.5. I think they're going to be losing a ton of games, and I don't think they hit 21. But I'm not as sure about it as I was last year.
I'm going to go the under.
Yeah,
with like somewhat confidence.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big stay away contender for me.
Oh, really? It's just, I'm feeling more confident about it the more I'm thinking about it, because
they're just going to be so bad. Like, even if Scoot makes a huge jump,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be so bad.
We have them ranked at 28th. And like the thing is, even if they're not all that bad, they're still going to lose a butt ton of games because they're by far, even at their ceiling, they're going to be the worst team in this conference, other than maybe one other team could give them a run for their money at their floor. Like,
yeah.
Their floor compared to their ceiling is close.
Like the ceiling is like Scoot makes a jump, and then like Klingon is like rookie of the year. Like, there's no, and that's like not high.
Yeah.
It's like,
and Shaedon Sharpe is like an all-star.
They get like 25 games is the highest my brain can fathom for them to win.
Yeah. It's going
to
be rough.
No, and then they have to play the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the T-Wolves a million times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm going to go under.
Yep. And then
if that wasn't clear enough by my like continual thinking.
The other team that they'll have to play a lot in their division is the Jazz, which is going to be a bad team, which was the team I was referring to, which, of saying that their floor is probably somewhat close to the Blazers' ceiling.
But it's a floor. But,
yeah, it's the floor. And also the Jazz, the thing about them is they, even though they don't have a good roster and they haven't had a good roster ever since Will Hardy's got there, they still win a lot of games, especially against other like bad teams, because they're not trying to tank. They like try to compete, you know, even though they don't have as much talent. They're like, you know, Hardy, they've got a, I said Hardy as an adjective there.
Not
I
would, just the coach. Yeah, yeah.
Not as the coach, but they've got a group that is, you know, there's a mixture of some veterans and some young players that are all just trying to win.
But they've got guys that can like you feel contribute. Good about Markkanen. You feel fine about Clark. Like there's guys that there's no hope within the next 3 years for anybody on the Blazers roster.
Yeah, but so their prospects, though, have higher ceilings than like most of the Jazz players.
But in terms of winning right now, seasons today, there is no one you feel good about.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of the Jazz,
which we'll talk more about them in a second, but
we'll get to them more. Mm-hmm. Where do the Trailblazers go? What do they do?
Like you're talking future plans of roster moves?
It's almost as bleak as the Nets. Like, granted, they have more of their own stuff. And they've acquired assets when they got, like, they shipped off Lillard. But, like, where do they go? Like, what direction is it? Is it, like, hope that Scoot isn't, like, a super mega bust and Klingon turns out fine? But even then, like, you're not bringing people into Portland to play with Scoot. People don't want to go play in Portland. The one guy got tired of losing.
Yeah.
Like, the one guy that's been the most pro-Portland outside of Bill Walton, and he even got mad at the team.
He
liked Portland, like, the place and the community.
I'm pretty sure he sued the team.
Owners. Yeah. But that was like a... That's not because of... I'm more talking about Portland, like, the
that's
city.
Just a big entity of fans.
As, like, a place and fan base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not bad, but, like, nobody's like, you know who I really need to... I'm going to go play in Portland.
Portland is one of the most, like, the best fan bases in the NBA because of the market. Like, it's such a, that's the only pro team they have, you know?
The same reason that
Royal
Stadium.
They really show up for their games and everything. Their attendance does very, very well.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, we're just kind of in the attendance division today. Every single team in this division gets insanely good attendance and home court advantages.
Yeah. Nuggets, more of a physical home court, and Jazz. Nuggets have been, and before this really peak of the Jokic era, Nuggets were one of the worst attendance teams.
Attendance is wrong, but like in terms of winning at home, they would like always, obviously it's because they're high up and it's hard to breathe. Yeah,
geographic advantage, them and the Jazz with their elevation.
The Jazz have that too, and then, it's I don't know. I just feel like there's very few teams that I'm like, I don't see a roadmap at all. And I think the Blazers is just getting lucky, or you're just going to be like so bad for the next like 5 years.
Yeah.
Like so bad.
I like Denny Avdija a lot. I thought that move was really good, but obviously.
But that's not enough to like get you like a play-in spot with how good the West is.
No, I'm not saying right now. I'm not saying right now.
No, I know you're not saying. I'm just saying, like, even in general.
He might be, I think, by the end of his contract, he might have the best contract in the league. That might be my hot take. I don't think that's that hot, but.
Like, it'll look like, value-wise, it'll be the best contract.
The highest value contract in the NBA. In 2028, he's going to be getting paid $11.9 million.
In 2028. That's nuts.
He's 24 right now. I don't know how the Wizards got him on this. Going back to descending contracts, he's making 15.6 right now, and it's going all the way down to 11.9 in 2028.
He's gonna like trade or fight out of that.
It has vibes of Scottie Pippen's contract during the Last Dance, like in 1998, like where he was the 200th or something like that highest paid player in the league. It wasn't that low, but it was, low. It was like 50th or something like that. But
for
that's
the 50th
insane.
For being like a top 10 player, like,
at minimum,
nothing.
Like maybe arguably top 3 or 4 best player in the league at the time. and he was getting paid that much.
What the heck?
Yeah. That's... So, but Denny Avdija, obviously not saying he's going to be a top three or four player, but I think that Denny Avdija will be a very, very high value starter that will be getting like on the open market in 2028. Will probably be getting paid like $35 million.
I say that, but if they get Cooper Flagg, I feel very different about this team moving forward.
That's true. I mean, if they win the lottery
and they get Flagg with Klingon, and if that feels really good, actually. Mm-hmm. Like drawing that in my brain.
The exciting even if the whites. Guy's
like, the exciting whites. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm sorry, Portland. That was just me being mean. You got sick jerseys most of the time.
Yeah. I tend to like the Blazers jerseys usually, other than when they just do like the really random color schemes. I don't love that. But one thing that we're failing to mention, the two Nebraska legends that are on the team, not just one, but two guys on this roster. They've got Delano Banton and balloons are going off also. Every time I say two and hold up my finger, you know, it's peace sign. It always will give me balloons on my screen. But so Delano Banton, former Nebraska legend, and Bryce McGowans is on the 2A.
He's spot. In Portland now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They signed him on a 2A, cool. Which I guess he got waived in Charlotte, or not waived, but they didn't exercise his team option for his third season.
So I thought that was weird and dumb, but whatever.
Yeah. So, but he's found a spot here in Portland. And so that's kind of fun. I like Tumani Kamara a lot. Like there's like some names on this roster that I like as like role players, you know, but not like any high end superstars or like really even consistent every year all-star type guys that I can really, you know, predict for them in the future. Scoot Henderson, maybe at his ceiling he has that, but like I feel like after we saw what we saw from him in his rookie season, I feel like that's kind of like the ceiling for him is like
I feel like he got led astray like with how they tried to use him and what they like were asked. I just feel like that was wrong.
Yeah,
like they just tried to make him shoot and I'm like, he's not that.
Yeah, he's just not. Well, he kind of had to shoot a little bit with how their lineups were being. Like this year, I think it'll be a little bit better. They'll probably not play him and Matisse Thybulle at all together. Also, Matisse Thybulle has gotten significantly better as a shooter, which shouldn't go unnoticed. So that might also be a thing to monitor. Delano Banton is still like not a good shooter, though, unfortunately. But. So we'll see where that goes. They've got a lot of bigs on this roster that I don't think they'll probably keep in the long term with Robert Williams and DeAndre Ayton in there while they just
don't.
Drafted Donovan
Bring
Klingon.
Bring him home, Time Lord. Filling in the Al spot. Bring him home.
Yeah, honestly. So, yeah, figuring out who's going to be the best player on this team is going to be interesting. Honestly, I don't know who the piece is to build around long term. Mm-hmm. I've heard some... a lot more buzz recently about Shaedon Sharpe potentially being that guy. Anfrey Simons is probably their best player right now, though, I'd say. He's a little bit older.
They just have a bunch of guys. They're like, if that's my eighth or ninth guy on the roster, awesome. I feel
Chris
great.
Murray, another guy. Duop Reith, I even like as a third string center, honestly. But he's the fourth string, I want to say. quick math here.
Oh, man.
Jeremy Grant is on this team we haven't mentioned yet as their second highest paid player. Going back to Scoot Henderson, actually, what you're saying, I view him, like, I feel like he might be more of a role player, honestly, than what he actually...
like Jeremy Grant. He'll have, like, a couple really, really good seasons for some really, really bad teams and might get, like, an all-star or two.
Yeah.
But won't be able to, like... drive them into the playoffs and win games.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he'll probably be a little bit better than Jeremy Grant, but I feel like maybe something like a Bruce Brown or a little bit better than that, maybe like a Alex Caruso, Jalen Suggs. Those, you know, if he can develop into something like that, would be interesting to see. I think he has like the tools to be really good defensively there in the backcourt, but his rookie season was not great on that end of the court, on either end of the court, really.
Yeah.
But especially on that end, I feel like was where a lot of his youth showed through. But yeah, like I mentioned before, I just mentioned his name. Tumani Kamara, I think, is a really good
3-and-D, like dirty work wing, big wing at like 6'8". So I think you'll probably get more time this year as well. And honestly, they're not going to be a bad defensive. Like, they could roll out some really good defensive lineups if they wanted to, with Kamara and Avdija as like the wings, and then Robert Williams at the five with Matisse Thybulle.
He's
at
not
the two.
Playing to start this season, but yes.
Oh, okay, to start the season, yeah. Or even, but even Klingon, if they put Klingon at there at five, and Thybulle at the two, and then, I mean, if you want to go full defense, not worry about offense at all, then you could put Banton in there at the point guard.
That's true.
And that would be a tough team to score on.
Kudos to us. We have filled 12 minutes about the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, wow. Honestly, that was probably one of the most fun teams I've had talking about for whatever reason. I feel like they just have a lot of like okay guys that a lot of people don't know a lot about, but I have an affinity for some
like
of them.
Those are our guys most of the time. Yeah. Like our guys very, I mean, obviously we've got the Jokic's and the Tatum's and the, but like we have like Ricky Rubio, all-time Hall of Fame, Hoop Theory Hall of Famer Ricky Rubio.
For sure. First ballot. Absolutely. Yeah.
Honestly, the Hall of Fame is named after him. the Ricky Rubio Hoop Theory Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I need to make like a graphic for that we can flash on the screen whenever a guy gets inducted.
Inducted,
the Ricky Rubio Hoop Theory Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to write that down.
Denny Avdija might be one of my earlier candidates for that too. Like I've always just really liked Denny Avdija for whatever reason. And I think that he's going to, I don't know if this is a home for him in Portland, but I think it bodes well, at least that Chauncey Billups accidentally like called him the best player on the team and then had to like backtrack and say that he didn't call him that, which is just fun. It's just a weird interview moment that we got in this preseason. But that's also just no offense to Danny Avdija. As I've said, he's like my guy. That is showing where this team is at, sort of, if you can kind of not super controversially call Danny Avdija the best player on the team, you know?
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, it's probably not great. And with all the talent that is in this, especially this Western Conference, so that is why I think they're probably going to win like 15 games this season. To be honest, it'd probably be my prediction for them, about 15, 16 wins. So definitely going to go under on their line of 20.5, and you did as well. So now moving on to the next team in this division, which is the last team in this division, and that is the Utah Jazz. So they won, or their line for this upcoming season is 27.5, which is a lot better than last year, but a better line, you know, more accurate. Because last year they won 31 games. They were 31-51 with their line heading into last year of 35.5. So, I mean, they were not super far under it, but it was, you know.
They started the season, or was that 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago, where their line was like 22
And wins. They won like 22 games before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Because they had that insane like 11 game.
They were the one seed 10 games into the season. I'm pretty sure they were like one of the last teams to lose a game. They were like 10-2 at one point.
And it's right when they took Will Hardy. So it was definitely 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that has the record for as long as we have been doing this, that was the most surprising, like, this team moment is bad. I think I locked the under on them of like 22.5 or something like that. And they ended up just being a borderline play-in team. I think they were like the first team out. I think they were like the 11th team.
And then early on, they were way better. I've seen a graphic where like Jordan Clarkson like had his face on like a graphic, and it was like with like Jokic and LeBron and Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was like best of the West or something on one of those talk shows. And it felt like a fever dream.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
He was kind of like almost their, Lauri Markkanen was probably their MVP, but Jordan Clarkson was a close runner up for their MVP early on.
Super well.
Yeah, early on in the season.
And he was like, this is what we expected.
Yeah.
Like, he was like very, it was awesome.
He like transformed his game. He became like a lead ball handler, distributor. Like, he was averaging like 6.5 assists a game or something like that.
It's kind of like Blake Griffin when he went to like Detroit. He was like,
yeah.
I shoot threes now.
I am a distributor and I shoot. Yeah.
Oh man, there's been some fun little blurbs and moments in the podcast history. I feel like we didn't talk about that one enough as it was happening, because that was a wild 10
the
games.
The Jazz?
Oh, yeah. That Jazz. Uh-huh. That Jazz. I mean, that's like Lin's sanity for Salt Lake City.
No,
like,
yeah.
Like, it was just this level of...
And Lauri Markkanen. Yeah. That was like, because he was a throw-in to that Donovan Mitchell trade, and he turns into their cornerstone. Like, that's just insane. Like, he was a guy that people were, like, talking about, like, giving up on. Like, he was a bust. And then he's just, like...
I was never there, I don't think, yeah. with Mark. That felt always weird. Just because of his physical, like, what he has.
Yeah. Like, with Chicago, he was pretty disappointing. But then that 1 year in Cleveland...
It's also Chicago.
Yeah. That 1 year in Cleveland, I actually... I was a little bit higher on Markkanen when he was going over to the Jazz. I didn't see him as a star in the slightest. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But in Cleveland, I was like, oh, I'm surprised how good of a role player Lauri Markkanen can be. Like,
he can have a place on a really good team off the bench.
Like, that fun Cavs team, another team that I was early on that, you know, everybody thought was going to be bad.
Sexland.
Yeah.
Sexland Cavs.
Yeah. With Colin Sexton, Darius Garland. And then they had Lauri Markkanen as their three, which before in his career was like strictly power forward center, you know. But then they had Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen as their bigs. So they used Lauri Markkanen as a three on defense and everything. And it's just like, it's weird how good he's like holding up.
I feel like that team would be pretty like fun and good now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That team would be insane. I don't know if they'd be better than the Cavs. They wouldn't be better than the Cavs now, but they'd be good.
They would be interesting. They might be like, not in terms of total, like add up all the players' value, be better. But they might work better. They might work better, honestly.
That's like a 2K experiment that would be fun to do.
Yeah. Because then you, at this point, Colin Sexton could be like the sixth man and Okoro's the starter as like the defensive guy in the backcourt.
Just put Markkanen at the two. Just bump everybody up.
Okoro's at the two. But still, yeah. Lauri Markkanen as a three next to Mobley and Allen. Honestly, kind of balances things out because of all the shooting he adds.
How do you do that? There's no team that can... The Celtics can't... Okay. Almost the Celtics can't almost defend
the Magic would be one team that would weirdly match up with them a little bit because Paolo's 6'10".
Because the Magic are just this weird thing that exists.
But the Thunder would be a little bit mismatched with Jalen Williams having to guard Markkanen. You know, Jalen Williams being like 6'5", 6'6", guarding a 7-footer.
Quarter one of the NBA Finals of Game 1. The Porzingis quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be insane. But that's not the world we live in. I'm sorry. Jazz fan. Well, I guess we're talking about Cleveland, but that would be fun. But Jazz wise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
As we kind of try to give them their time in the sun. Congratulations. You've done it. Pretty jerseys. We're not doing much jersey talk.
True.
They fixed it. They saved it.
A lot better. They had some of the worst just regular jerseys, like home and away, in recent history, in my opinion, at least. I hated them.
The highlighter jerseys are gone.
Yeah. What we are Bix? That's the brand of highlighter.
The brand.
Okay. Yeah.
Like where it's like just bold black lettering is what made me think of it. We are now into the era of purple is back.
Yeah. I like the
they
purple.
They have one of my dudes, Walker Kessler. That's a guy that's on my list of jerseys that I think I want to get and added to the jersey box.
Yeah, he's a guy.
A Walker Kessler new era Jazz jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They've also got, obviously, we've talked about Markkanen. They've got a lot of those guys. They just haven't continued to keep that magic that they kind of had 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, well, they've front office wise have tried not to. They've tried their best to not let them keep winning games by moving off of all of their better players for younger assets and picks.
And then my thing is, why don't they just go like tell Will Hardy, hey, stop?
I guess it's probably a hard thing to balance because if I was a front office guy, I would probably be doing it similar to how Danny Ainge is, where it's like, as far as the team is concerned, like people around the team, players, coaches, not going to let them be involved at all in like the trying to lose standpoint. Because in reality, I'm not necessarily trying to lose. I'm just not trying to be all that good.
Yeah.
Like I'm focusing more on developing.
Oh, this team with Cooper Flagg. There's so many of these bad teams that get Cooper Flagg. And I'm like, this would be fun just because of how he fits. Cooper Flagg being the player that he is, obviously, but like the skills he has, if you need like anything from like a three to like a small five, heck, a big two, throw Cooper Flagg in there. It'll probably work. It's just exciting. Mm-hmm. He's just fun.
Just for
pizzazz.
Sure. And then What's funny is we were just mentioning about they might be made worse, or they keep getting made worse by their front office moves. They almost got the biggest move of that to like make them, you know, all the way down in the tanking hole this summer. Almost happened. It was Lauri Markkanen getting traded to Golden State.
Which would have been the worst timeline. I would have hated everything.
Just because you don't want him to go to Golden State because it would help them?
No, not because it would help Golden State. I just want like Lauri Markkanen to get like a chance and have like a Dirk run where he's just good. Not that he'll be as good as Dirk.
I kind of like him as the co-starist, like the second best guy on the Warriors would be like, because that void is there to fill right now.
Yeah. Maybe Steph, it's I just want Steve Kerr to have no happiness.
Yeah. It's Steve Kerr's
if
fault.
If there was honestly, it's the Steve Kerr, Jacob, half of Hoop Theory, anti-Hall of Fame. That's where I hold him in regard. He's the anti-Ricky Rubio for me.
Is that different than your Corner of Shame? Are those two different?
Oh, it's actually, no, it is now rebranded as the Steve Kerr Corner of Shame.
Nice. So he's the latest addition. Probably should have been in there for a while now. I just didn't think of it.
I've dropped the Corner of Shame. The Corner of Shame also has a bunch of like football people in it.
A couple, yeah.
Like, I think the entire city of Detroit is in the Corner of Shame.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the Detroit Lions. I want to say
the organization. Is it just the Lions?
But it was the Latvian Basketball Federation. Latvian Basketball Federation. Yeah.
And then Knicks owner also I think can be taken out of the corner
because of his fear. Is that why?
No. It's because he's.
I mean, I like that contribution to humanity. Honestly, James Dolan has climbed up my list of dudes for that crazy thing.
I mean, he's out of the corner mostly not because of the sphere. Like the sphere doesn't hurt, but mostly because of like the things that the Knicks are doing feel like not.
Oh,
like,
that's true. That's true.
I don't want to spend any money. Uh-huh. I have the goldest of gold mines, so I'm going to put nothing into it.
Uh-huh.
At least now they're like, let's try and do some stuff.
Yeah,
I don't want the Knicks to be better than the Celtics, but when the Knicks are good, that is healthy for basketball.
No,
and if
for
you
sure.
don't think so, you're stupid.
Yeah, I think he also caught a little bit of unnecessary hate all of those years because people attributed like them being bad just to him when he wasn't super involved in most of the decisions the Knicks
intentionally,
made
intentionally. I think
yeah, like he kind of stepped aside and let like his people do stuff, but the people that kept getting hired over and over for a while was just like the wrong choice. Like Phil Jackson was a tough era as a executive, and that lasted for way too long. And then their era with Derek Fisher was also bad.
I think that weird Charles Oakley beef thing wasn't good.
Yeah, so that was what I was going to get to. James Dolan, I think the thing that is like warranted in getting mad at him about was his weird pettiness with like former Knicks and people that would like criticize him and the team. He was just like silence or like, you know, and kick them out and not allow them back basically and stuff like that. And it's just like, well,
I think Charles Oakley was invited back. Didn't they fix that?
Probably now, I would assume at this point. But I think that for a while there, it was not allowed back.
Dan Quinn was another guy in the Corner of Shame to get like, he's still in there. He will never be able to leave the Corner of Shame.
Yeah, I don't
Dan
even remember
Snyder,
who that
not
is.
Dan Quinn. I combined the head coach, which I think the coach Dan Quinn might have also been there.
Houston Texans?
No, that's Bill O'Brien.
Okay, he was in there. But I think you took him out, though, last time we talked about it.
Probably.
You took him out because you said
with B.O.B.
He's making a comeback.
He's better.
Anyway. So James Dolan might be out of it now. I mean, it's your corner of shame, though, so who knows.
I would take... So moves officially done today. We'll let everyone leave except for Dan Snyder, former owner of the Washington Commanders / Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
And we will rename it the Steve Kerr Corner of Shame. And he's permanently there.
Yeah. But you took the Latvian Basketball Federation out and everything?
Yeah, they can come out.
That's fair.
They
Detroit
come out.
Lions?
They're out. They're out for sure.
They're
I
good
love
now.
Motor City Dan Campbell so much.
Yeah. One of the
Dan
few coaches
Campbell.
In the NFL that I do know of, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to like give the backstory because I didn't know if you knew his name is Dan
macho
Campbell.
Macho man with a big goatee.
He's just a dog. He's a football guy. Like that meme, like it's a football guy. He is just a walking, breathing football guy.
Yeah, no. But really quick, going back to the James Dolan, the sphere thing, just a fun tidbit. Did you know that they the Sphere is not expected to make money for like at least 10 years.
Yeah, it is a money pit. It's a hole. He's not good.
And when he was asked about it, he was like, "Yeah, I know. It's not really a financial investment. Like, it's more like I just want this thing to exist. Like, I just want." And it's like, I'm glad you made that sacrifice to make that a reality.
I want there to be a All-Star game played in that Sphere so bad.
That would be insane. Yeah, I want to go see like so many concerts there. I have not been there yet, but I that is on my bucket list.
We need to talk about this after the recording. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
Linkin Park's new singer.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about that at all.
Well, yeah. Like,
I mean, I'm not, to be like clear, I'm not super into Linkin Park anymore, but you know, nostalgic me, Linkin Park is, you know, what I grew up on. You know, so it's just it is definitely something that I took note of and saw, but
we can talk about that after.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah. Maybe a tidbit theory, honestly. But yeah, anyways, though, looking at the Jazz finishing out their thing, I think I'm going to lean the under, but this was my other main candidate for stay away, was the Utah Jazz. This is
my stay away. I've decided that I'm going to use my stay away on the Jazz because I just don't know. Because they're bad, so I think it's under. I'm like, it's like a lean under, but it's a stay away for me.
Yeah.
Because this is the line that I'm the most about. Mm-hmm. I'm about a lot of lines. This one I'm the most.
The only thing that makes me a little worried about it, like they could go over, is Will Hardy and like that whole dynamic, getting more out of his team than you would think. And then also Lauri Markkanen, like apparently really wants to be there. Like, and which makes sense when you kind of think about it, like that he made his huge breakthrough and everything in this city, the fan base, like he was like the guy for them that year that nobody thought they had any hope. And then all of a sudden they were like pretty good. And he's like a fan favorite, probably is very thankful to the fan base and everything, probably likes it there. I don't know. Finland is a colder country and has mountains. Scandinavia has a lot of mountains. Utah is in the mountains. I don't know if there's a correlation there. I'm not sure where he's from in Finland, but could be something there. So him being there and wanting to be there, I think is going to make them a lot better than all these other teams that are at the very bottom of the league, you know?
Yeah, where it's just like guys doing their time. Like, it's not like, good point.
Yeah, so they are in a tough division, obviously, with three of the best teams in the conference, in the league, sharing this division with them. So that's just what makes it tough. They need to get to 28 wins to pass it. This is a really good stay away pick here, but I also don't want to do the same thing as you, because then that would make us only have one difference in this entire division.
But that's just this division. We've got differences other places, like a lot of differences other places.
Yeah, we do.
You know?
We do. I'm trying to think back.
I mean, you don't have to, but don't jeopardize the the integrity of the game just for the sake of being different. Because maybe we're just that correct. Maybe we're just right.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. I do want to kind of review what I could use my stay away on though. So Minnesota, Portland, maybe. No, I feel confident about the Portland under. Minnesota under 52 games, 52 wins. I feel best about the stay away on the Jazz, to be honest, I think. I want to say. But no, I'm going to go Timberwolves. I'm going to put my stay away on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Final answer. So I'm going under on the Utah Jazz. I don't think I mentioned what their power ranking is, which 25th in the NBA is what we have them at. So a little bit better than a lot of the bad teams, but not great, obviously, in definitely the bottom little group there. Probably the second to last tier if I had to tier it all out. But yeah, and then I'm trying to remember. There was something about the Thunder that came up in my head as we were talking about the Blazers, I want to say, that I was like, oh, I forgot to mention this. But I don't think I ever got back to it. Something about the Thunder. I think the one, this isn't what it was, but this is another thing that just came to mind of last week's episode when you said something about Naz Reid having like the Naz Reid play on Jokic on defense. I was like, I don't remember. I don't know what that was. And I went like trying to find what you're talking about. I think I found it.
It was like two blocks like in a row.
Oh, really? I didn't see it.
I thought game seven. Maybe it wasn't in game seven. Maybe it was one of the like earlier games in the series.
Oh, okay.
I just remember that like we like had a conversation like you were like Naz Reid is dead to me. This was like it had to have been during the game.
Yeah, Naz Reid. I said Naz Reid was dead to me in game seven. Maybe it was early, but was that because of defense? I thought it was because he made like a bunch of shots in a row or something. I thought
it's because he had like a sequence of like good defense.
He blocked like, he blocked some people, but I don't know if it was Jokic.
It might have not been Jokic then.
But there was one block he had on Jokic in game seven with 6 minutes left in the game, which I'm guessing is what you were talking about as the when you said the Naz Reid play.
Yeah.
I think so. It was like an offensive rebound that Jokic got. And so as he was going to put it back up, like three Wolves defenders jumped with him to try to block it. And the one who got his hand on it was Naz Reid.
Mm.
But so I'm guessing that was probably what it was. But most of that game, he was being defended by Cat. And in the minutes that Cat was on the bench, Naz Reid was his primary defender. But Jokic was like the only player on the Nuggets, him and Jamal, who played well. You know, so like he wasn't necessarily stopped by anybody, but yeah. So overall, like I guess what I'm saying is I still like the matchup of Naz Reid guarding Jokic full time. I feel good about that on the Jokic side of things. But definitely not a bad defender, that's for sure, Naz Reid. But guarding Jokic one on one, I think he's a little bit ill equipped for that, a little small. But anyways, I think that can probably do it for this episode. Gonna wrap this one up. To rerun through our picks, because we did kind of change some throughout, you know, recording. The Nuggets, we both locked the over on 50.5 wins. The Wolves, I'm gonna go stay away on 51.5, and you went over. The OKC Thunder, 55.5 was their line. We both are going over. The Portland Trailblazers, their line is 20.5. We're both going under. And then the Jazz, their line is 27.5. I'm going under and you are going stay away.
Yes.
Yeah. And that will do it for this episode. I also haven't heard Bill Simmons. Have you heard him address the KOC thing? Kevin O'Connor leaving?
I don't know if he has or will.
That's weird to me because he usually does. Like when Kevin Clark left, he gave this big spiel about it, like saying goodbye. Even Jason Concepcion, who left on kind of not great terms, I think, from what I've heard. And he even was like, he like at least mentioned it. But I haven't heard him say anything about KOC, which is just interesting to me. I don't know how that was perceived, I guess, company wide. Because usually if it's just like, oh, yeah, it's a better opportunity, go take it. But I don't know if it was like he sprung it on them like right before the season is starting and they had like, you know, like mess up a bunch of plans. I don't know if it was something like that where he didn't give him much of a notice or anything, because planning wise it kind of seems like that could have happened based off of how not prepared it seemed the mismatch was for it.
Yeah, I've seen some conspiracy theories on the internet that we can talk about, but I don't really want to talk about them on the podcast.
Okay. Okay, one final thing. I don't know how I missed this. I think this is what I was thinking of earlier. So you had a lot last episode when we were recording, you had like just a lot more hater fuel, I feel like, in the last episode than usual. Because when I brought up the Heat as like I, you know, made this take with them that I had thought of like they're one of those teams that it's weird how good they are. When you think about how, like when you want to say that they're not good, like when my dad asked.
Credit it to Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, like you were like very pushbacky of me calling the Heat a kind of good team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just don't like the Heat. I do remember last episode, I was like, from like works, I was not in the greatest mental, like, I was tired.
Yeah.
And so I just was like, screw the Heat, man. I don't really, yeah, that's probably what it was. But I, like, to a certain extent, I do stand by, like, to the thing of like, you don't feel like you should be like, oh, the Heat are good.
Yeah.
But they always just are. And I still stand by the fact that I think a lot of that is just Eric Spoelstra's existence.
I think what you kind of arrived at the end of it, I do agree with more. Yeah. But like right at first, you were just like, no, I think they had easy breaks. I thought they got, you know, ran into teams that, something that I put together really quick, just because I thought this was not just to be like, oh, gotcha, but also just, it's insane how good Miami has been. So all the teams that have won, like out of the teams that have won the most playoff series in the past five seasons, just think about that. Like, do you know, could you name any of the teams up there? Do you know where Miami would rank? Do you have any guesses? The teams who have played the most playoff series in the past five seasons.
Probably second.
They are second. Indeed. Bingo. Number one Celtics is your first team. Yep, with 15.
Well, no, just because they had to play-in once, and they made the finals once.
Yeah, I'm not including play-in as a series. But
okay, so yeah, they made the finals once, and Celtics have made it twice. That's like the only...
Well, the Heat have made it twice to the finals.
5 years, not 3 years. Yeah. My brain was doing...
2020.
So, yeah, so the West hasn't had the same... Jesus Louise.
Because
It's been Lakers, Warriors, Nuggets, Mavs.
Yep. The Lakers are tied for fifth. You're forgetting about the Suns, I think, is the team you're leaving out.
The Suns is the other West team I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm. So the team in third is Denver, has played 12. Miami's played 13. Fourth is Milwaukee with 10. And then there's a three-way tie for fifth. That's the Lakers, the Suns, and the Mavs.
Oh, okay. I don't know if there's like a sneaky team that doesn't make sense. You're like, wait, what? Like, no. They've just been like the Magic or something weird where they just like, It wouldn't be the Magic, but just some weird team. Cavs would be one that would be like, didn't even think of that, but they just always get to the, what are the Sixers?
The Sixers are eighth, so they're the next team. But that's the thing is, I feel like they're low in comparison to what you would think they should,
how good they should be, but they just only win a, they only play in two playoffs, or two rounds at the most.
They played eight total in the last 5 years.
So then, how many did the Celtics have? Was it 15. 14? 15.
Yeah, so it's 15, 13, 12, 10, and then three teams have nine with Lakers, Suns, and Mavs. Philadelphia has eight, and then ninth is the last team I have put down because I think it drops off after this next team who has seven, and there's a bunch of teams that have like five, but this next team has seven, and a similar story to the Sixers. Always have high hopes, but never make it super far. Do you have any guesses? They're like the West Sixers.
Oh, Clippers?
Yep. The Clippers have played seven playoff series. And would have had more if they're 1 year that like Kawhi and Paul George like didn't play at all. They missed the playoffs. So that hurt a lot. But yeah, anyways, that could finally top off our episode. That'll do it for this one. Thank you for listening. Be sure to do all the things that we said at the beginning of the episode. And come back next episode when we're talking about the Pacific Division, which is the Warriors, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Suns, and one other team that I can't think of off the top of my head. The Kings, there we go, because there's four teams in the great state of California. But yeah, that'll do it for this one. Thank you for listening. Stay happy, stay healthy. We will talk to you guys next episode.
Peace!